story. Thank you for coming out today. We have a packed house, which is awesome. We're going to talk about stories and publishing. And to kick things off, I will introduce myself. My name is Michael Seglain. I am the creative director for Lucasfilm Publishing. We have a great set of panelists up here. I'm going to have them introduce themselves and tell you briefly who they are and where they belong.
Where do I belong? Such an existential question. Hi, my name is Jennifer Heddle. I am a senior editor at Lucasfilm, and a lot of what I do is liaise between these publishers and the story group, so that's why I'm here.
I'm Shelley Shapiro, editor-at-large at Del Rey. I edit the Del Rey Star Wars novels, and I work with all these guys to make them all work together.
Hi, I'm Sadie Smith. I'm a managing editor at Dawn from the City. And where I should be is here, I think. And we've been working with Lucasfilm on the film a long time and produced many, many great books.
My name is Leland Chi. You might know me better as the keeper of the holocron. So I am part of the newly created story group under Kiri Hart that tries to ensure that everything that we create fits under a single canon.
Sounds easier than done. I'm Pablo Hidalgo. I am not listed in the program for this panel, but they're letting me sit down here.
Extra special guest star.
Yeah. I'm also part of the story group, and I work closely with the rest of our partners in the story group to work with filmmakers, video game makers, storytellers of all kinds, answering their questions and informing them how best to move forward in keeping this universe as cohesive as we can.
I am Jordan D. White. I am the editor of all the Star Wars comics at Marvel Comics.
And I'm C.B. Sobolski, lifelong Star Wars fan, much like all you all. And now I'm living my childhood dream working as the executive editor on Marvel Star Wars Comics with Jordan.
So one of the things that we wanted to talk about first is really what is canon right now. And, you know, there's been almost 40 years of storytelling revolving around Star Wars, and we're at a really unique spot right now, because right now what the canon is, it's the movies, it's the TV shows, it's the video games, and it's right now our publishing program. And so what we're trying to do is really tell, like the name of the panel says, one big story. You know, this is a marathon. It's not a short little sprint. It's not a little race. And what we're looking to do is map out the grander galaxy and say, all right, well, if there's a story that's going to be told in a kid's book, how does that relate to what Jordan's doing in a Marvel comic? And how does that relate to what's going on with Del Rey and what's going on with the books that DK are doing, the books that Disney Publishing's doing? And like Pablo said, it's not as easy as it sounds to keep track of everything. And that's really where the mysterious story group comes into play, because I'm sure you've heard, oh, story group, story group, story group. You know, they walk around, they wear cloaks, it's
impressive. Usually.
No, but if you know, Pablo and Leland, if you guys could just expand a little bit upon, you know, what your role is within Lucasfilm,
sure.
and how you guys interact with us on the panel, that would be awesome.
Yeah, you know, as background, and we kind of all know this, but it always helps to restate it for people, because it's so easy to get confused about certain things. But, you know, the fundamental shift in the way we did things and the way we're doing things going forward came from Kathleen Kennedy, our president. And we had an incredible opportunity that no one could have predicted a few years ago, that Star Wars would return to the big screen in a way that we could only have dreamed about. The huge shift in operations for us, for lack of a better term, is in the past, there were two camps kind of developing story. And the intent was to have them interact as much as possible. But the reality was, is that the cinematic entertainment coming from George and the published entertainment coming from our licensees and our editorials, they weren't as in sync as could be. Now, Kathy, in her wisdom, said she wants everything that comes out to have that kind of authenticity to avoid any major disconnects that may have happened in the past. So she quite wisely created a story group that, among other things, this is not all we do, but among other things, is we track what's in development. We have much more of a long-term game plan than we've ever had visibility into before. We understand what's happening far into the future, and as a result, we're able to inform all our partners that are involved in storytelling in a way that we could really capitalize on that.
And we're also producing much more content than we were in the past. I mean, we would make a movie every 3 years, and now a movie every year? That's a lot of content, and that's a lot of space that we need to give ourselves for future storytelling. Mm-hmm. Which is why we had to make that hard decision about making the Expanded Universe Legends, because it's one thing if everything after episode 6 might interfere with episode 7, but we're also doing standalones, and the standalones can take place at any point in timeline.
And Rebels itself doesn't take place after 7. It exists in the existing film, so we have to accommodate that in the kind of storytelling requirements that entails.
Which is why we had to make the decision that all the Expanded Universe at that point in time would be considered Legends. And in doing so, we also did the thing of calling it Legends and keeping the reprints so that people can still enjoy that material, mm-hmm. even though it's not canon.
And the thing that, in that regard, it's like, one of the realities is there's going to be so many new Star Wars fans. It's unthinkable how big this movie's going to be around the world. I mean, we are incredibly dominating the internet right now. Bad news for us. If anyone thought to announce their presidential candidacy this week, this was a bad Well, that actually would have worked. But because there are so many new people that are going to be brought into this, the concern was, when they pick up a book, what will be the expectations of reading that book and then understanding what's going to be on the screen in December and the years following that? And how do you understand that distinction between a story that that is now considered in the Legends category versus something that coming forward that is going to be cohesive with what the cinematic entertainment is going to be?
And
that was the answer to one question.
No, but to that end, I just wanted the panelists to quickly speak to how they interact with you guys and how they work with Story Group, because it is a very, very close relationship, because you guys really do see everything. So Jennifer, do you want to touch on some of the books, be it from the Marvel side or the Disney side?
Sure. So... a lot of what I do is, obviously, I work directly with the publishers themselves, like people like Shelley and Jordan, on the stories. And, usually what happens is we'll kind of work out among ourselves, what kind of story we want to tell and kind of, get the idea to the place that we want it to be, where we're happy with it. And then I'll share it with Story Group to get their feedback. And Story Group is pretty much involved at every stage of that. So they'll be involved at, the proposal stage, the outline stage, the script or manuscript stage. They're following it all the way through. So they're, making sure that every single detail is in step. And, I work with them on kind of both the macro and micro level because, some of it will be, we'll have a discussion about, a certain storyline and how it's going to affect, different books from different publishers, or sometimes I'm just emailing Leland asking him, what kind of ship can we use in this particular scene, So it's like, they're kind of my go-to people for just about every little detail. My brain trust, if you will.
And Shelley, on your side, because you look at it from a different perspective than Jen does.
Not that different, actually, except I have to kind of liaise, if that's a verb, between the authors and the Story Group, Lucasfilm in general. I work with the authors. We work very closely with them to figure out the story we are all comfortable with, and they're constantly have to come back to me. We have some authors we've actually brought out to Lucasfilm and had meetings with the story group and Jen and everybody there to discuss things right in person, but more often we don't have the leisure to do that or the pleasure of doing that. So I have authors who are constantly in touch with me with questions like, what ship should I use here? What location should I use here? Is it okay to do this? Is it okay to do that? And a lot of that I know by now. And a lot of it I don't. And then I go to Jen and I ask her, and what she doesn't know she gets from the story group. And it all is constantly kind of working around in a cycle to make sure everything falls into place in the right places.
And then Sadie, a lot of what you do is considered nonfiction for Star Wars. So how does what you do and what your team does differ from what Jen and Shelley are doing?
Well, we do work with expert authors, and we put a lot of trust and faith in them, but we select them very carefully. And being referenced, there's a lot of detail in our books and facts and figures and things, so it's a bit of a minefield. But Lucasfilm with us every step of the way, and story group is so important to us, especially when we've got so many facts and figures going on.
You've got a book there, do you want to
yeah, share? Absolutely. This is the first title that DK has produced that is actually part of the new canon. So
We worked really closely with DK in putting this, because at the time this the origins of this book sort of came out when we were still figuring it out, but we knew that this book had to be strictly canon.
What is it?
This is the ultimate Star Wars.
it's essentially the first and the most comprehensive encyclopedic look at the Star Wars universe that DK has done.
And again, this will really serve a purpose with a whole new audience coming aboard, them understanding what is it to really pay attention to and understand what's in the film canon and what's in the Clone Wars, television canon and other places that we can fill in on.
Exactly.
So it's an illustrated guide to all the characters, all the planets. I mean, this is almost like a version of the Holocron at that point in time.
It is, actually, yeah. It really, really is. It's kind of like the book that we go to now in the office when we're doing another title and we want to get it right and we want to get the facts right. But again, everything we do work very closely with Story Group.
And really, it sets up a great foundation for moving forward.
Yeah.
And that book in particular is a tremendous tool for a lot of our authors and illustrators.
Absolutely.
Because it's, you know, that's one-stop shopping right there.
I was just thinking we
need to get a copy of that.
It'd be wonderful if everyone on the panel.
It really is hot. We are actually selling it at the moment at Celebration, but it's not out in stores until May. But we are selling it today. Sorry?
It only contains canon, so everything that was considered expanded universe is legends, and so
they're asking specifically the Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
No, no. If there was Force Awakens content,
sorry,
yes,
I thought you said Force Awakens. I'm sorry. No.
Not yet.
I'm gonna say no.
Does this mean the Sand Suite encyclopedias are legends now?
That's all legends.
That's all legends.
Yeah, there was a lot of expanded universe content in those. Yeah, every book we did before the announcement of the canon was the legends.
Yeah, that was the hardest part to wrap our heads around. Was it's easy to say the stories are legends, but it's harder to say also some of the facts are legends. And it's like, oh wait, what?
But the thing is, like, more are, like, when it comes down to a question of needing to fill in a background detail, generally what was established in the Legends universe is completely viable, because there's nothing that was said or established about certain things that ended up being violated by anything that happened on the screen later on. There were a few things and some pretty heated discussions and some decisions that had to be made, because we had this opportunity to revisit things, and we were able to look at some early facts that were established, and we've always had to work with that and fudge it and move it back and forth. Things like, you know, Death Star sizes is such a tangled web to unravel, and so we don't necessarily have to accommodate a lot of the conjecture that was done before by having a clean start. I'll give you an example of one, and I don't know. It's tough, because we understand that people will be attached to everything when it comes to Star Wars. You'll find someone who is a passionate defender of every fact somewhere in the world, and so it's not done arbitrarily. It's done with an analysis of what was done in the past and where are we going forward. So, that's a long way of saying that huts are no longer hermaphrodites. Because we couldn't back that up in any of... In order to make that work, every hut that appeared on screen had to have an asterisk around their name saying, well, huts are hermaphroditic, except for this one. Like, we look into Clone Wars and Zero the Hutt has a mother and a father, and we look at the character of Jabba as envisioned, and there was no way to deny the fact that that character was male with some very bad male tendencies. And so it seemed cleaner in that case. So that's an example of a fact that was up for debate.
And that's a small one. We've done big ones too, and one of them is addressed in the comics, the Leia comic in particular. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that we, you know, Paul and I thought about, and like, why would the Empire let the rebels stay on Yavin for so long?
And that required so much dancing around in order to justify a 6-month departure window to preserve certain stories that had those authors known that the Empire Strikes Back was going to start on Hoth, they would not put up a fight to keep the rebels on Yavin. And it made absolute sense. The rebel base was discovered. It was essentially indefensible, both as a base and a fact in storytelling. Why would they be on Yavin? So we made sure that they skedaddled as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. And that leads into Jordan and CB, if you guys wanted to speak briefly to how you've been approaching the comics and working with both Lucasfilm and Star.
Or maybe we can start with, like, what's it like? Because you guys are the new kids on the block.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's pretty similar to what Shelley said. I mean, I'll work with the writers, you know, Jason Aaron on Star Wars, Kieran Gillen on Vader, all the different people, Mark Waid on Princess Leia, Greg Weissman on Kanan, and we'll talk about the story, and then we'll consult with either Jen or Frank there, and they'll pass it along to the story group, who will give us notes. We have had the opportunity to go and meet with the story group a couple times, with Jason and Kieran specifically, since they're doing this ongoing series of Star Wars and Vader, telling longer stories, we wanted to, you know, make sure we were all on the same page on that. And it's been great. We'll come up with some pretty off-the-wall ideas, and most of the time they kind of get through, so it's good.
And you mentioned the comic Kanan.
Yeah.
That was done by Greg Weissman, who also worked on season one of Rebels.
Right.
So that was a...
And A New Dawn are a perfect example of how this can all work collaboratively when we're all on the same page and we're genuinely telling the backstories of the characters you see on screen and understand that this is what their psyche is, this is what their history is.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, Star Wars, Vader, and Princess Leia were all ideas we said, well, here's what we think we should launch with. And I think Kanan was the first book that you guys said to us, hey, this is actually a good place to explore something. Would you guys like to do a story about Kanan's backstory? And we said, absolutely. If you haven't checked it out, it's pretty great. It gets to tell the story of what happened to him when Order 66 went down, which was just kind of hinted at in the series of Rebels, and we get to actually show you what happened. So it's great.
You know, with Marvel, we have a long continuity in history ourselves. Yeah. You know, 75 years we celebrated last year. So, you know, we're in working with the story group and with Lucasfilm, we understand it because we've done it with people who have licensed the Marvel characters in the past. You know, we know what we can do, what we can't do, and what the limits are when they give us certain requests and things that they would like changed. We have an understanding that, you know, we would ask the same things of people who do our characters. But we still want Jax the Rabbit back.
What's amazing is 75 years of Marvel Comics and we've never contradicted ourselves.
That's
once.
Amazing.
It all...
Actually, I wanted to just kind of add on to something Jordan said, just because I know it's a question I've gotten a lot anyway about where the story ideas kind of get generated from, and it's, you know, it definitely comes from both sides. There are times where, you know, a certain author or, you know, people from the publisher will come to us and say, oh, we have this great book idea, we want to write about this, what do you think? But then, you know, there are other occasions where, because the story group does have this sort of, you know, more macro view than the rest of us do, that they can say, hey, you know, would you be interested in telling this story? Because it's really good, and then maybe we could tie it into this. So it's definitely a two-way street as far as that goes.
What's also interesting is with a lot of new creatives coming on board on the cinematic side of things, you know, we're getting different levels of interest and excitement that they've never had the opportunity to work on before. So we'll have screenwriters and directors saying, wait, my characters can appear in a Marvel comic? They can appear in a novel? And they really embrace that opportunity. So it's an interesting shift in dynamics.
We are super excited for a time when characters that are first appear in Marvel comics show up somewhere else. We can't wait. In fact, I was really hoping that we would see like a Dr. Aphra somewhere at the concert, but I haven't seen her yet. So maybe tomorrow we'll see.
Two more days, fans. Two more days.
Another way, we're gonna open up the questions in a minute, but another way that everyone is working together here is on the programs against the films that are coming up. And one of the things we're doing is this Journey to Star Wars The Force Awakens program in September, and that really is across all publishers, and it's a way to get everyone out here excited and start speculating about The Force Awakens. There will be hints and clues and puzzle pieces in these books that we're not explaining. We're not going to tell you what it is. You guys are going to have to put two and two together yourselves and see if you come up with the right answer come December, and that's part of the fun of it. You know, we're doing something here with everyone on the stage that says, okay, what can we do in September to start getting everyone even more excited than they already are? And how can we reintroduce these characters to people who are new to the franchise and people who've been here, you know, since the very beginning? A lot of what we're doing on the Journey 2 side are original stories set between 4, 5, and 6, or stories that will tie in some way to 7. Again, I'm not going to tell you how. But that's really, really exciting and really, really new for all of us to do. And it's been, you know, a joy to work on because we've got the support of everyone from Kathy and JJ on down to say, no, this is cool, this is fun, let's get this out there, let's give something to you guys and to the new fans to say, hey, this is new canon, and what does all of it mean? And again, we're not going to tell you those answers. That's up to you guys to try and, like I said, put two and two together. But it's something that we're doing both on for kids' books, for the adult side, for comics. I believe you guys even had, right, Marvel, you guys announced this morning that Greg Rucka was writing your Journey 2 title. Which is fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
Greg Rucka doing Shattered Empire. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah. We're not just tying into film and TV content. We're also doing, we can also have the potential to do publishing on video games as well, which we've historically done in the past. But I don't know if any of you were at the Battlefront paddle. That's a right opportunity for storytelling. And so we're definitely gonna capitalize on that, and so we've got a Battlefront tie-in novel. It's called Battlefront Twilight Company. I think there was a sampler with it. We've got the sampler.
Yes. Inside the sampler, available at the Delray.
If you check out our booth and come by our panel tomorrow, find out what's happening at Delray. You'll get the sampler and a little chapter from each book coming up. And I just wanted to say too that I don't know. We've always worked very closely with Lucasfilm. That hasn't changed that much. It's not like we ever went our separate ways. I've been working with Leland and Pablo certainly for years, and Jen when she came on, and I've been there forever, or so it seems, feels. But there's something different now. There is something, the level has gone up in our storytelling, in my opinion. I have not been this excited by our books. Not that I didn't always love them, but the new ones are just fantastic, and I'm reading a new manuscript right now, and I'd really actually rather be doing that maybe, but the stories we're telling are so, I can't even put my finger on it, because like I said, we always tried to be within continuity and work with what was going on, but now they're just a level above, they're really, something is working with this new whole story group approach and the new attitude of all one story that is bringing everything together so cohesively that it's making all the storytelling extra exciting.
Yeah, and it's kind of opening some doors, or at least opening doors more easily than it has in the past. You know, Battlefront is kind of a good example. I mean, you know, obviously we've always tried to do tie-in novels, with games. But in the past, it was more separated. You know, we would have to go to the people at LucasArts and say, hey, can we do this? And they don't really know about publishing, and we don't really know about video games, and we'd kind of be trying to work it out. But now we have, you know, people in the story group who are kind of handling that overall look for us.
Because, because everything that Paul and I are doing for books, we're also doing for games.
Right.
So we are on board at the very beginning when we started working on games.
Yeah. So
and it's even then we can like start thinking about, you know, when we go into approving those games, we are definitely thinking about what are the other storytelling possibilities.
Yeah, it just makes it so much easier to make everything fit together that way.
Yeah. From a television standpoint, I mean, Leland and I basically sit down the hall from Dave Filoni and Henry Gilroy. We're working on Rebels, and that just affords us a connectivity that we aspired to at Clone Wars, but we didn't get into this kind of communication until the end of that series, and then we hit the ground running with Rebels.
I mean, we were in different buildings, just different facilities.
Different cities.
Different cities, yeah.
Oh. And, but now, you know, it's like, hey, let me ask Dave this.
Yeah, and Dave spends a lot of time in our office.
So what you're saying is it really is one big story, huh? All right, so listen, enough of us yakking. It's just, you know, several hundred of, you know, our closest friends here. Who has a question? Who wants to? Wow, out of you. All right, there's a microphone in the center. That's probably the easiest way to go if you guys want to form a line in the middle. And
hey, you know what?
Hey, no one can see there.
Here's an idea too. Before you ask a question, why don't you tell us your favorite installment of the new canon so far?
That's a great idea, Jordan.
We'll be real happy and positive. It'll be nice.
All right, go ahead.
Sure, hi. My name's Gary, and so far my favorite stuff of the new canon is the Vader books. I love the Doc and the evil versions of C-3PO and R2-D2. I don't know their numbers, but they're fantastic.
000 and BT-1.
Love them. And my question is, now that there's the cohesive story group, and now that you know we've got the sort of deeper backstory from the prequel trilogy and everything else, is there any plans to revisit the novelizations of the original trilogy's books and rectify some of those weird-ass continuity problems? Because, like, I remember reading the Jedi books, and Obi-Wan said, I gave you to my brother Owen, not...
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's... Are you guys going to do something with that? I hope.
Who are we looking at?
I mean, we could have done it even before the Legends announcement, and we never did. So.
It's funny. It's like, would you realize you're pitching special editions?
Yeah.
Which is, absolutely.
You don't find that often. It's all right.
Take the money.
I think we have so much new stuff to do that going back and sort of redoing the old stories, by particularly taking stuff out, it doesn't seem to be a priority. It doesn't mean it won't happen someday, but right now there's so many new stories to tell. That's kind of where our focus is.
Right. You know? There's no real plan to go back to those, but that's not to say there's not a plan to go back and revisit those stories, just in a different way. So on the Disney publishing side, on the Disney Lucasfilm publishing side, I should say, we have some very high profile authors coming in to retell 4, 5, and 6 from their own unique POVs. We have a panel tomorrow with Alexander Bracken and Adam Gidwitz and Tom Engelberger, and they're each tackling 4, 5, and 6 respectively for fans to see those films through their eyes.
Okay.
And it's pretty unique and pretty amazing.
Awesome.
So.
It's not quite what you're asking for, but I know Marvel is also doing a recolored versions of our old adaptations of them. So it's the original art, but recolored with modern coloring techniques. I don't think we're changing any. I don't know if we're changing any of the word problems, but we're definitely going to change the colors. It'll be very nice.
It's interesting because, like, I would. And this is my personal opinion. I would err on the historical point of view, and I would rather understand what, say, Donald F. Glut thought *Empire Strikes Back* was when he wrote that book, and it came out in 1980. So rather than reissue that specific book with individual changes. as Michael
well,
said.
That's more what I meant.
Yeah, I think that's
what
works.
I meant. Don't reissue them with changes, but revisit, reimagine them
yeah.
with all the new information that we now have that we didn't have when they were written in 1977.
And we have so many more potential opportunities to reimagine those stories. I've got a couple questions about a webtoon in Korea.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about that, Jen?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is a super fun project I've been lucky enough to work on. You know, one of the nice things about working with Disney is that they have so much greater an international reach than Lucasfilm was able to have. And so we're trying to really get people in other markets excited for Star Wars in places where Star Wars hasn't, you know, really been a phenomenon like it is here. So I've been working on these webtoons, as they call them, in Korea. They have this very popular format, and it's sort of like if you imagine a Tumblr, you know, where you scroll, but it just tells one story, like, as you keep scrolling. And it's comic art. And this writer, his name's Writer Hong in Korea, is writing and illustrating his adaptations of 4, 5, and 6. And is doing it in a very interesting way because he's just tackling it from a completely different perspective than I've ever seen before because culturally he's coming at it from such a different place. And it's really become this incredibly, to me, just really beautiful, touching retelling that really also adds some stuff about Luke's childhood and, you know, has a lot about Uncle Owen struggling to, you know, keep Luke as a boy of Tatooine and as someone whose head is in the stars. And so it's really adding this new chapter to these stories that we've told so many times.
Does it get called Wormy?
What?
Does it get called Wormy?
Aww.
Oh. We did borrow a lot of it.
Translates.
Yeah. But I think we did use some of the radio drama content.
Yeah, some of those
really?
Characters
awesome.
Are in there. Yeah.
Yeah, so there are scenes from the movie that weren't seen in the movie.
Yeah,
but,
that are in there.
We do consider canon.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next.
Hey, guys. My favorite thing in the new canon is definitely Rebels. Everything about Rebels is great. Kind of a related question. In an earlier episode of Rebels, Captain Rex from the Star Tours ride.
I thought you meant a different Rex.
No, I was just wondering, was that confirmation that the Star Tours company exists in canon? And if we ride the ride, are we like, why is it canon?
Star Tours is an interesting challenge because it covers multiple eras. So you're going to Kashyyyk and you're fighting the Battle of Coruscant, and then there's Mount Hoth, and then there's Yoda and Mothma giving you orders on what to do. So
it's apparently canon that I get the Gungans every frickin' time. So, if that's canon, I'm just kind of sad about that for me.
I would say a lot of the framing devices and the elements in it are stuff that we could pull from going forward. But that's an example of that's a specific experience. And it's interesting. We use two words a lot when discussing things. We talk about canon and we talk about authenticity. And they're not necessarily the same thing. We always care about authenticity. But sometimes certain things can't be canon. So there are certain video games where things have multiple endings or certain experiences that are really tailor-made to exist in our world, on our planet. But the authenticity is, does Vader look right? Does he act right? We're not actually giving you a chapter of Vader's life, but we don't want him... there's a reason the hyperspace hoopla doesn't exist anymore.
Oh.
We don't want him dancing and then someone thinking, Vader must dance a lot. You know? Because that's not authentic to his character. So there's two definitions that we kind of use.
And we take that approach with everything that we do, even if it's something like Lego, which, I mean, obviously is... not canon, but we still want that to be authentic.
Wait, does that mean Darth Vader and son is not canon?
But it's authentic.
It's authentic.
Or maybe not. Sometimes we just want to have fun.
My name is Elias. My favorite new canon stuff is like we join a lot of the new Vader characters and Leia stuff and everything Rebels. My question, you... briefly brought up some media that possibly has multiple endings. There is a company called BioWare that has been doing some awesome Old Republic stuff in that era of the timeline. A few people have noticed in the most recent expansion, you know, they started telling their story before the Disney thing and have continued to do that afterwards. The most recent expansion story group was credited, so I'm just wondering, are the events of that expansion canon? And if they are, does that apply to the events of the rest of the game? And I'm just unclear about that.
You know, as a macro answer, not to that specific question, but in general, as I hinted before, it's like that's not a Lucasfilm story group credit is not a badge of canon, because we do a lot of things, and authenticity is part of that. So I wouldn't necessarily translate that, hey, if a game has a credit to a story group, that means it's been given some sort of stamp. That's not really what that's supposed to represent. Specific to your question, it's like, you know, until we start delving into the deep past of the Star Wars universe, we're probably not going to make any statement one way or another. I mean, the deep past in any other media. The thing that's happened with BioWare is they've created their own universe that's so fantastic and so great that we're not going to change the way they do things because there are so many people invested in that particular universe. So I just say continue playing the Old Republic the way you've been playing and build up your characters and enjoy that story because it's fantastic and they do amazing work.
And that goes along for anything that's sort of something that we were producing that's ongoing. So the Fantasy Flight games fall into that same camp. I mean, we're definitely looking to insert maybe canon material when we can. So when we have the cover of one of our Fantasy Flight books that there's been talk in some of the novels about the Jedi Temple and what happened to it after Order 66 and how it became the Imperial Palace. We gave Fantasy Flight instructions to say, you know what? The Imperial Palace is the Jedi Temple.
Illustrate
that. And so they did, and they did this great picture, and it's got the Jedi Temple with Imperial banners hanging down the sides. Mm-hmm. That's the Imperial Palace.
So on the cover of Force and Destiny, if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Cool. Yeah, you have to send me that. That sounds great.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dylan. I guess my favorite new canon stuff, even though it's not technically new canon, would be the Fantasy Flight Armada stuff. I was checking that on the panel before you guys. It looks really awesome.
I mean, everything that they're doing, whether it's card games or the X-Wing Starfighter combat game, is just top-notch.
Yeah, they've really... Their production values are amazing.
Yeah, my question was, I know you guys are kind of focused right now on the new movie, the new canon, but as one of the fans of the Expanded Universe who has, you know, been following this for a long time, there's a lot of stories that are left to be told. There's a lot of storylines that are still left unfinished. And I was just wondering, is it possible that we could see those stories come to light one day through you guys? And if not, what can we as the fans do to make that happen, to persuade you to make them understand?
I think anything is possible.
Yeah. The funny thing is, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, is it possible... or maybe 3 years ago. Is it possible we might see episode 7 or 9? I'd be like, well, no, of course not. It's like the farther we project into the future, the harder it gets to be super definitive. I will say this much. What's happened in publishing over the last few years has really been focused on this plan to bring in a lot of new audience and establish this groundwork of what our new movies and what the new universe is supposed to be. Now, once that objective has been achieved, who's to say what the next goal is and the goal after that and the goal after that? So, you know, it's impossible for me to say, oh, yes, absolutely, or no, that'll never happen, you know. But we have platforms like this at Celebration and all our other channels to keep you updated as these things move forward. We totally understand what people's interests are and what they love, and you'll find we share a lot of that love and our interests overlap in the same way, but... we're just kind of giving you a snapshot of what our plans are a bit at a time.
But another thing to remember is that this is an ongoing history, whichever version of it, and there isn't a finish. How do you decide when it's finished? You have a family history, one way or another, that continues on through generations, and we could keep going on and telling whatever parts of the story, and each one ends because you have to have some kind of ending, but it's not the end, and then we go on, and there's always more to tell, just like real life. So, will we ever finish? I hope not.
Yeah, there's no race to the finish line on this one. I mean, it'll be 10 years between films. Does it mean there's going to be 10 years between EU stories? There could be. You know, that's like I said before, anything is possible with this. We're also fans, and we're aware of what you guys want, and we do listen to what you guys have to say.
Thank you very much.
Hey, when are you going to explore the Old Republic part of the timeline, like when Knights of the Republic takes place?
Tuesday.
In terms of creating new canon material?
Yeah, like doing like a brand new, like new improved like Darth Bane story.
I mean, it's definitely not off the table.
Another thing that happens, and you know, this doesn't wholly answer your question, but gives you some idea into process. Kiri Hart, our boss at the Lucasfilm Story Group, really believes in finding where a story wants to be told, as opposed from starting the position of having a gap and putting a story in that gap. So we're really more approaching of all our stories are generated because it was a magical combination of talent coming together with an opportunity to tell it. That's not to say this particular era that we're talking about won't be filled that way, but that's how we're going forward.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name's Jared. My favorite new canon is the Vader series also. My question was actually the same as the guy a few in front of me about the SWTOR canonicity, so I'll just ask a different question, which is there or will there be some sort of outward-facing list of canon materials? I use the Wikipedia list, but obviously they have some questions too, and they're not 100% sure. It'd be really nice to have a list of canon that we could just go through and be like, oh, I want to read that, I want to read that, I want to read that.
I think that's
it. Doesn't quite cover all the new ongoing. If there's new materials, maybe a living list, a living document.
It's funny. It's like new materials going forward, for the most part, will be, you know, unless we make extra pains to say that it's not. And regarding old material, it's like, I don't know. Again, this is my own personal preference. I don't want that to be an artificial barrier to stop someone from reading a book just because it's not going to be referenced somewhere going forward, you know. It's like, I'm a huge fan of some really obscure stuff that was trampled way back in 1980 when the Empire Strikes Back, you know. And I still like visiting it and putting it out there. And so the idea that the Legends label would be some sort of deterrent for some readers, I hope people don't look at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, we're still putting out, we just put out the giant hardcover collections of the original Marvel Star Wars comics, which are super not in canon. But they're fun to read, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, the timeline that we did recently for the novels, I think that's probably the closest thing we're going to get to what you described. And so chances are, if we do such a thing, it might be publisher specific. So that's what that timeline has. It has the movies, Clone Wars and Rebels, and then novels.
Yeah. And I believe Marvel's also going to be working on a timeline as well for their titles.
Sure. So awesome. I didn't know that.
Thank you, guys.
Hi. My name is Jennifer. My favorite of the new canon is the Princess Leia book. Thank you. Alderaanian survivor story is one that's been kind of waiting to be told for 40 years. My question is, with the expanded universe legends, is there any thought, because I know I've seen where, you know, it's out there for authors to kind of choose things they like, is there any thought to sort of appease some of the hunger that some of us EU fans have of taking popular characters and rebooting them into the new canon? like X-Wings novel characters, that sort of thing?
I mean, All of us have our favorite Legends characters that we love to see come back. It's just a matter of, is it the right place for them? Are we going to take that character in a direction that's too far from what you know?
Are we honoring that character by putting them in a story that reflects what it is that we like about that character? You know? Mm-hmm. If I were to distill that answer to one word, it's yes.
Yeah, I apologize for the loud noises. My name is Matt, and my favorite new canon material is probably anything and everything to do with Kanan, because his character is just a badass, period. It's like he's... I got a long story, I'm just going to shorten it. But there was one thing that was brought up by a podcast that AMC Movies does, the AMC Jedi Council. Oh, hey, Christian! I watch your show, it's fantastic, love it. But John Campion points this out, and someone beat me to the punch on the Old Republic thing. He keeps repeatedly addressing that there, you know, because a lot of writers, it seems, and a lot of the new material seems to focus exclusively almost on the era that George created between episodes 1 and episode 6, and around this era leading into The Force Awakens. Even though the expanded universe prior to that did go 100 years in the future with Legacy, thousands of years in the past with the Old Republic, how much of it are you going to cram into this one era before we go, okay, 5 tiers of canon again? And it's like, because so many people are always like, I want to tell a story with Darth Vader, or I want to tell a story with Luke, I want to tell a story with this character, or maybe if you bring Mara Jade into it, well, I want to do a Mara Jade story, or well, I want to do a Thrawn story, or whatever. Even if you did, whether you brought them in or not, it's like, how long until the dam breaks and we go, okay, it's 5 tiers of canon again?
That's the whole reason this group exists is to prevent that from happening. I mean, as I said, we have a pretty long view as to how the content coming from various channels of Star Wars Entertainment is going to go. And that allows us to kind of future-proof the material that comes going forward, because, you know, a lot of people, people come to us and say, oh, I have an exciting story that I want to tell with that character. And we're in a position to say, you know, that's a great story. Wait 6 years or something. You know, it's like we're now in a position to do that where there was no position to do that. The other thing we're trying to combat that happened in the past, and it happened with all the best intentions, but it was an unintended consequence, is treating publishing material at, like, there was an Oklahoma land rush to fill in gaps whenever something was presented by its, you know, it's like, oh my God, we need to tell who that bounty owner Norm Mantell was. And as a result, we told that story 4 times. And none of which necessarily count on top of the other. So rather than be in that position where if there is a bounty hunter at Norm Mantell on a future story, the equivalent of that kind of dangling thread, rather than conquering it just by saying, yeah, fill that thread, it's like, no, what's the story you want to tell? How does this affect our characters? How does this enrich our characters' lives? And how is it an entertaining story in and of itself, as opposed to approaching it from the gap point of view first?
So, pretty much, just one last thing I say. You guys are all awesome, and I'll have my one fanboy moment. I am cross my fingers for Mara Jade to reappear in the canon.
I pitched that we bring her back and kill her off right away. Nobody liked that.
But, you know, I'm just trying to understand your perspective of things. And, you know, every now and then in the Star Wars history, there comes this grand galaxy-changing event starring central characters, you know, all the star players like Luke, Han, and Leia. So in the previous times, it was all pretty much done in the expanded universe through books, comics, video games sometimes. But, you know, with this new era of Star Wars, with new films in development, how are you going to do it? If you're ever going to do it, do films still have the priority in this? Shuffling the deck, shifting the tables, or can you just initiate something on your own? You know, to change the galaxy in some way. I think you. I'm probably answering the question right now, but you know, the galaxy in Episode 6 is supposedly a different place than it is in Episode 7,
mm-hmm.
And you're gonna. I mean, how are you going to present that change, and will you initiate these changes in the future?
I mean, it's definitely something that we've spent a lot of time thinking about.
Yeah.
And we do have some sort of sketch of a plan that is constantly evolving. Part of it has to do with what other things happen in other movies that happen besides Episode 7.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, you're rightly thinking, and so, like, you know, what are the big stories, and will the films always get first dibs at those big stories? Yes and no. I mean, this is another thing that my boss is really great at, Curie, is that she'll understand that certain types of stories would only make a good novel, or would only make a good comic, or would make a good movie. And she'll look at it in that way. Another great thing that's been gifted to us is the fact that, you know, just by circumstance, there is 30 years between 6 and 7, of which, you know, there, we can look at that, and we can look at that in a big way, and really maximize that. The other thing, too, is, again, as I said, we have a big term, we have a long-term plan, and we understand what the cinematic content is aiming to do, and so we have a better picture at what spaces other content could fill. And it's not just that, you know, we're totally against the idea that novels just fill gaps.
That's great. Thanks. Looking forward to all your new content.
Publishing will definitely support and always complement the films, but publishing will also stand on its own. And, you know, like Pablo said, we do have plans for things. It doesn't mean that everything's going to happen tomorrow. But, you know, you guys waited 3 years between films before, so you can wait a little bit of time. I'm getting the sign that we only have 10 minutes left, so we're going to go to the lightning round for a question. So,
we at least have to get to Thrawn's question, because I think I know what it's going to be.
I'll try to be quick.
If we answer it truthfully, he may disappear.
He said May. He said May. He didn't say Will. He said May.
So my favorite new canon work is actually A New Dawn. I really like John Jackson Miller's writing style.
John's here.
He's here.
There he is. Woo!
Just incredibly fun ride, start to finish. Anyway, so my question is, I understand that, you know, you're looking forward to doing this forecasting, getting everyone on the same page, trying to work through it. But looking at sort of the release schedule that you're working on, it looks to me like it's a very ambitious schedule. And as you move forward, eventually you're going to get so much content that continuity errors are going to be almost inevitable. Now, of course, in the old days we had the tier system to try and look and figure out what, you know, what was canon, what wasn't. And if that didn't work, we could just scream at Li Wenqi until he ruled. Not to say that screaming at Li Wenqi isn't fun, but what will be the new line of defense for dealing with continuity?
That sounds like a real good plan. Is everybody screaming at him?
We could reinstate the Marvel No Prize.
There was the
Marvel No Prize. There was a situation where if you spotted a mistake, you had to justify the answer why it wasn't a mistake at all, and then you would get a No Prize.
Which was literally an empty envelope. Yeah. There was no prize.
I mean, before Story Group, it was just me sort of handling the canon. So I've got Pablo, we've got Story Group. So the intent is for that not to happen.
But, you know, an honest answer to your question is case by case. I know there's a lot of...
Which is how it's always been.
Yeah, there's a lot of comfort in imagining there's a systematic program that puts something in that one slot and another slot. Honestly, because these are all creative ventures, if something like that were to happen, we'd talk it through, and we'd try to engage all you guys with as much transparency as we can and let you know how it happened.
I look forward to much screaming at Li Wenqi then.
So do we.
I might not be able to scream back.
Hi, I'm Marty, and I haven't read any of the new stuff yet because I wanted to wait for this panel.
Oh, fantastic.
Good answer.
My question is more a business process question. When, I'm not sure if you're updated on any changes in scripts of the coming movies, but does the story group have the power / authority to say when a director goes off in a direction that was not intended, that the story group can say, hold on a bit, no, this is what we agreed on, because if you're going off on another tangent, then you're going to conflict with what has been written.
I think the agreement is if you're working on Star Wars, you have to fit to the universe. But we will, again, there's a process, there's a conversation, there's a creative process where we've not yet found any time where that doesn't work. So.
Hi, my name's Lee. I'm a huge fan of BT-1 and 000, because evil droids just totally go really where they have to. But I also really like Tarkin, and I really like the allusions to events of Darth Plagueis. So I'm hoping that I can pretend that Darth Plagueis is 60% canon, per se. We're going to have caveated canon with Legends.
We're not here to tell you what you can or can't pretend. It's not as if, here's another thing I sometimes read online. It's like, oh good, that author snuck this reference in. It's like, they're not sneaking in. Yeah. We know what, that together.
Yeah. And there are people that do assume, like, oh, if they snuck this reference in, then the whole book must be canon. Yeah. That's not the case.
When it comes to Star Wars, one of the things it's best known for is a whole world of characters with a lot of rich backstories. But when it comes to characters who were on screen in the films, how much has that slate been wiped clean? For instance, is it Ponda Baba or is it Walrus Man? Like, can we refer to that character as Ponda Baba? Is that okay? Or is it clean slate? Please, tell me.
Get a ruling.
Yep,
on
the
bottom. Woo! Thanks, guys.
Just a real quick question. So, when Legends in the EU became Legends, did you all make any decisions about certain things? For example, you know, did Darth Vader have a secret apprentice? Things like that. Where, like, did you decide any of those ahead of time, or is it now, if authors or things, as you talked about, come up that want to explore that, that's when you would decide that? So the question is, did you decide any of those things beforehand, if they did exist or not, or if Darth Plagueis was his master, or did those come up as...
I think we decided ahead of time that stuff was not canon. I mean, it sort of works the other way around, where it's like, it's not canon until
we bring it
forth. There's a reason to.
But that doesn't mean anything that appeared in a book beforehand can't ever... you know, come true kind of thing. You know, it's funny. It's like we just chose the simplest path possible that was the most honest in terms of how all this stuff was created. We do get a lot of questions, is this, and it's not as if there's a master list that says, well, that is, but not that, you know. Until creative work comes in that has the opportunity to mine some of the old stuff, it is in this weird kind of Schrodinger's cat situation where, you know, Boba Fett is both simultaneously alive and dead in Sarlacc. To tell a story brings him out.
Hello. One of the things I really enjoyed about the EU stories was the story arcs that were then told by a rotational set of authors to allow the stories to come out more quickly. When we get into the new books, are we going to start seeing that? Are we going to see that approach continue?
I don't know. I can tell you that it was very complicated, and certainly doing New Jedi Order was a huge challenge. And it was a lot of fun, but I don't think I want to do something on that scale again. But it certainly is a lot of fun, too, and it brings a lot of life to things, so certainly something we would consider. It just hasn't... Everything's new right now, and we're just taking it one step at a time.
And so far, the novels that we've come out with have all been standalone.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that's just the nature of what we're working with right now. You know, we don't really have the luxury right now of doing a 6-book series because of so much is changing.
Or a 19-book series.
19-book series. But I think, you know, as we go along and we have more and more, you know, content that's out there, then that might be something that we would look into doing. It's certainly not like a policy not to or anything. It's just,
Thank you. And the other question is there a big enough story to tell that we are able to
Right,
tell?
Exactly.
All right, this is the last question, so make it a good one.
Oh.
We're out of time, unfortunately.
Okay. Pablo, love the shirt. Oh. Snaggletooth, that's fantastic.
At the cantina panel earlier, so that's where I was wearing this.
So, I want to know, how in the world can you get involved with Story Group? You know, if you want continuity, I know that's not the easiest answer, question to answer, but advice, what do you guys look for?
How do you become involved in Story Group?
Yeah,
are you hired?
Wow.
he wants to jump.
It's not a very big group. I always crack up at the articles that call us mysterious, like we're like buried thousands of miles beneath the Earth's crust. It kind of came about to fill a specific need, and it's as big as it needs to be right now. Will it ever get bigger? I'll let you in on something. It just got bigger not too long ago, and that post for that job was posted on LucasFilm.com. But again, I want to stress that continuity is not the only thing we do. There's a lot of story development. There's a lot of business that's involved in keeping all these partners working together. A lot of production that's involved. So because it's such a new thing, it's hard to say, well, this is what degree you need and this is what, you know, years of specific experience.
Paul and I, we got our starts in very different ways. I mean, he was writing West End Games material and I started as a game tester.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to mention that, you know, most members of the Story Group actually come more from the entertainment production side. Leland and Pablo are, you know, they're Leland and Pablo. Like, that's why they're there. So.
Well, thanks for all you do. You guys are doing a great job. I'm just glad that we have a fresh start and look forward to where you can fit in these beloved characters that everyone wants.
Awesome. And thank you guys for coming out. Thank you for reading.